Daf is Daf Kuf Nun Ches. So the Gemara quotes another Mishnah now that's the same idea of a house falling on top of two different people. So the Mishnah says, Nafal Habayis Alav Val Ishto. Person, rather, house falls on a person and on his wife, husband and wife. So Yerushay Habal Omrim Isha Mesa Rishon Vacharkach Mes Habal. So the Yerushay Habal, the ones who are inheriting the husband, say that first year the wife died. So when the wife died, so who's the Yerush of the wife? It's the husband. So the husband gets all the Yerusha from the wife. And then afterwards the husband died, so the Yerush HaBaal get everything. So then the Mishnah says, but the Yerush HaIsha Omrim, the inheritors of the wife, Omrim Baal Meis Rishon. First the husband died, and the wife was still alive under that house. Then Achar Kach Meis HaIsha, and then only afterwards did the wife die. So the wife's property was never inherited by the husband, because the husband died first. So the Yerush HaIsha get to collect the Yerusha of the Isha. So the Gemara explains, Beis Shammai Omrim Yachlok, like we saw in the past, that since it's a Mamana Mutah B'Safek, the Lach is Chalkin. So they divided it. There's no way to know. No one has a better claim than anybody else. So Yachloku. But Beis Hila Omrim Nechasim B'Chezkasan. So what are Nechasim B'Chezkasan? Look at Rashbam. Rashbam says the last four narrow lines, Beis Hila Omrim Nechasim B'Chezkasan. The Nechasim stay in the same, the status quo. B'Gmar Mefarish B'Chezkami. We try to figure out whose Chazak it is. But what type of Chazak are we referring to? So look at the last word of the narrow lines. Rashbam says, Honey Nechasim D'Karmi Beis Hila. Which property is he referring to? Hey, Nichseit Son Barzel, Shechnisim Beis Avia. She brought in this dowry of some sort, some property into the marriage. Vishaman Biksubasa, and it was assessed in the Ksuba, Vachriusim Allah. And now he, the husband, is responsible for this property. Im Pichsu, Pichsulo, Vim Hosir, Hosirlo. He's going to get any of the gains, any of the losses. It's his responsibility. So even though she brought it in, so then he's responsible for what happens, the ups and downs of this value. So the Gemara is going to explain, well, who has the chazaka? Does she have the chazaka because she brought it in? Or does he have the chazaka because he's the one who is overseeing the properties? That's Nichse Tzon Barzel. And then Beis Hillel says, when it comes to the ksuba, it's Bechezkas Yerushay Habal. Because if the husband never paid off the ksuba, so the husband still had a chazaka on it, so any property that would have been sent off for the paying of the ksuba, the Yerushay Habal get to hold on to. It was never given over. And then, with regards to nechasim ha-nechnasim va-yotzim ima b'cheskas yorshe ha'av, property, not the nichse tzom barza, but the nichse malug, where the husband has no responsibility, that she brings in property of her own, that from her father, that she owns and she oversees, that the husband has no rights to, that's called nichse malug, so that stays in her family's property, her family's rishus, namely the yorshe ha'av, her father's inheritors. So that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara now says on the top of Amud Beis, Bechez Kasmi. So the one ambiguous statement of the Mishnah was when Beis Hillel says the Chazakan, the Nechasim, which we said was Nichseit Tzom Barzel, it stays in the Chazakasim. Well, who has the Chazak of Nichseit Tzom Barzel? On one hand, she brought in the properties, so it seems to be she has the title, but he's the one who's overseeing it. All the gains and losses are going to the husband, so maybe the husband has the Chazakah. The Gemara says that's the machlokas here. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Bechezkas Yorshe Habal, and Rabbi Elazar Amar Bechezkas Yorshe Isha. It's a machlokas. Does it go based on her? She had the title at her family or his family, since he is getting the gains and losses. Shlokish Mishum Bar Kapara Amar Yachloku. There's no way to know. No one has a better claim than the other, and therefore he paskins Yachloku. V'chein Tana Bar Kapara Hol V'halul Ban Liyarish V'halul Ban Liyarish Yachloku. Since they're both coming to inherit, so, and they both have a good taina, both the husband's family and the wife's family, so then the din is, you would say, Yachloku. Okay. The new Mishnah tells us now, Nafal habayis alav v'al imo. If it falls upon, the house falls on a person and falls on his mother as well. So then the Allah Rashbam points out, it's referring to where the father's not alive. Right? Rashbam says, Nafal habayis alav v'al Imo, kagon shenafal bayis al Rachel eshes Yaakov ba'amunusa. When Rachel was a widow, so then the house fell on Rachel the mother, va'yosef b'na, her son Yosef, the son of Yaakov. V'lohaya la'od ben b'Yaakov v'lo mi'ishachet. No other brothers, no other children to Yaakov. So now it's...
Children to Rachel from Yaakov.
From Yaakov, exactly. So now the question is, so now both Yosef and Rachel die without any immediate Yorshim. So the Mishnah says, in this situation, Elu ve'elu modim sheyachloku. Here, everybody is in agreement. Even Beis Hillel would agree that you divide the property evenly. You don't say one, it goes based on the chazaka. Why is this case any different than all the other cases? So look what the Rashbam writes. This is the Rashbam, the last nine narrow lines or so. Elu ve'elu modim sheyachloku. Everybody agrees with this case, you pass in yachloku. Why? Because shneim ba nikoach tainas yerushas nechasim shehuchzaka behen ha'ish levada bechayeh b'manusa b'lobal. Both parties, the Yorsha Ben and Yorsha Aim, are coming with the taina of we're the Yorsha. Because the Yorsha Ha'aim are saying, well, the mother, she was a widow, and there's no husband, so we should have a coming from Koach Yerusha of the mother. Lo dam, and so too the Yorsha Ha'ben have such a taina. It's all coming from a Koach of Yerusha. And it's not similar. Lo dami l'nafal habayis alav v'aliv aviv. It's different than a case where it falls on a father and on a son, Dila'el, because Hassam, that discussion was Zebab mikach Yerusha v'zebab atayin ishtar chov. That was, remember, the Baal Chov was trying to collect the money from the father's property, or the son's property, rather. So one said, we have a lien. The other one said, we're coming from Koach Yerusha. So there, the tainas were uneven. So you have to say, there's a Baal Chov, the sheep would have a greater claim than Yerusha. So since it was uneven, Beis Hillel was saying it goes based on Chazaka. But in this case, there's no Chazaka to speak of. It's both coming from Yerushin versus Yerushin. It's equal playing field, and therefore you say Yachlok, even according to Beis Hillel. And the Rashman goes on to explain the same idea with the previous mission of it falling on the child and on the mother. That's the other case. On the husband and wife, rather, that too it comes because of a chazaka, not necessarily because of Yerushim. But this case, they're both coming because of Yerushim, and therefore it's an equal, again, taina, and you divide it yachloku, even according to Beis Hillel.
So what carries more weight? The lien carries more weight than inheritance.
That was all part of the debate of the previous cases.
But there's a lien.
If there's a lien, that was based on the other discussions in Kana, Machar, and the Ilom Shabbat or not, that whole discussion about previous acquisitions. The current acquisitions, we said that the Baal Chov does have the first Taina, the Shibud comes beforehand, but it gets complicated with the new acquisitions. So now the Gemara, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Kiva Moda Anibazu Shanechasim Becheskasim. Here Rabbi Kiva agrees, in this case it actually goes Becheskasim. So normally, even though everyone says Yachloku, Rabbi Kiva says this case is Becheskasim, it goes based on the status quo. Now, what comes out of this, Rabbi Kiva, it sounds like what's Rabbi Kiva's normal assumption? Normally assumes Yachloku. In this case, he's being Modeh that here Becheskasim. So that sounds like he holds like Beis Shammai Shittas. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos writes, Dibra Maschil Amar Rabbi Kiva Modeh Nibazer She'anechasim Becheskasim. Ein Lefarish Kamosha Peres Rashi B'Bamatzia Perek HaMafkid that Rashi holds Rabbi Kiva Shmosi Yahava. What does it mean Shmosi Yahava Dmei Tamideh Beis Shammai? Don't tell me that Rabbi Kiva is a Talmud of Rabbi Sham. It can't be. Because number one, the ha halacha kamosa mechaver. We always passing like Rabbi Kiva over his chaver, and we don't hold that way by Beis Shammai. So he can't be part of the family of Beis Shammai. Vigam, perkama de vivamos daf a nun tezain, rather. Palag Rabbi Kiva bitsaras habas al Beis Shammai. Clearly, Rabbi Kiva argues in Beis Shammai. So he's not in the same camp as Beis Shammai. V'yod, my basalan lachalik es hashavin halo kevin the Beis Shammai modeh b'ha. Fine, this next part we have to read the rest of Mishnah to appreciate. In the end of the day, he answers it differently. Look what the Ratosos answers. Al karachach nir lefarish. Modeh ani bazeh. When Rabbi Kiva says, I agree, he's not saying that he himself agrees. He's saying, leman demefarish b'gemara b'cheskas yorshe ha'em. The one who holds that goes based on yorshe ha'em generally, have a modeh ani bazeh. In this case, I agree that it's going to be based on yorshe ha'em. Afagav, even though I hold the sphere lay kibes hillel the ksuba havi becheskas yorshe ha'baal, even though I think by the ksuba it stays in the husband's property, havi becheskas ha'elu, these properties havi becheskas ha'em. That's what he's saying. He's not saying in general I hold yachloku. He's saying normally I hold yorshe ha'em, but in this case I'm saying yorshe ha'em. But he's not holding yachloku in general like Beis Shammai. He doesn't agree to Beis Shammai. He's not a shmosi like Rashi and Bamitzia suggests. Okay. So Gemara now says, Mishnah rather finishes off in saying that again, the Tanakhama held that in this case everybody would agree Yachloku, even Beis Hillel says Yachloku in this case because they both come from the Koach HaYerusha. Rabbi Kiva says, no, I think it goes based on the Chazaka of the Yerushei HaEim. So Amarlo Benazi, Benazi comes along and says to Rabbi Akiva, Al Chalukin Anu Mitzdarin, we're so bothered by all the machlokasim. And finally we have a situation where we say everyone agrees, and Al Shabasa, you're coming, Lechalik Aleinu Vesashavan, you've been saying when they agree, they're arguing, you're creating more machlokas. Rabbi Akiva, done with you, we're not interested, we hold that they agree even in this case. Even though Benazai says this, just seeing from the Ein Mishra, it sounds like we actually passing like Rabbi Akiva, that they are arguing even in this case. It does go based on Cheskasim. So the Gemara wants to know now, B'Cheskas Mi. When Rabbi Akiva says it goes based on the Chazaka of Nechasim, so who had the Chazaka? Who was the previous, who had the title? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ila Amar B'Cheskas Yorashe'im, and Rabbi Zeir Amar B'Cheskas Yorashe'aben. So why? What's the difference? Who should get it? So look at the Rashbam explains the machlokas whether the property should go to the mother or should go to the son. Rashbam says all the way towards the bottom here. He says right when the Rashbam starts on the Gemara, b'chez kazmi. This is going on at the Rabbi Akiva Kai when he says it goes on based on the chazaka. Who has the chazaka of the property? B'chez kaz yorsha aim. Does the mother's yorshin have the chazaka? Can the mefarsh the kamei hold the huchzaka nachla osa shevet? Since it's really going to the mother had the property which after her husband died, when the woman was alive, after her husband died, she had rights to all the property. And she comes from her father's shevet. So therefore, a filuk subasa v'tosefta, that as well, shegavsa mibayla mishabal yada, harehein b'cheska shevet aviyah. So it should all go to her father's shevet. It should go to the yorshei ha'im. Yet on the other hand, one could suggest that should go based on Yerushay Ben, says Rashbam. Why should the son get it? The mother had the full rights to the property after the husband died. Because the Mishameis Baila, when the husband died, Haya Ben Roy Liyorsha Kodim Lechol Kroveh Mitzad Ha'av. Because the son was really the rightful owner, even though it seems that the mother was over officiating and overseeing all the money, he was really the one who was Roy Liyorsha before any other relative of the father. And therefore, that's the machlokes between Yerushay Aim versus Yerushay Av.
It sounds like it's the difference between what's Roy and what's Mukhsa.
That's exactly the point. Because she was mukhsa, because she was using it.
Right, so isn't mukhsa always been just roi, which is an eventuality?
Very good. So that's what we'll end up seeing. That's how we paskin that way. The Gemara doesn't really elaborate all again on this whole conversation. In the end, there we paskin. We'll see in a second that it is go based on chazaka of the mother. Yorshi and get it. The question, what's the hav mean? Rabbi Zeri thought that it should go based on roi. So it might be that some level we had before and discussed in the beginning of Yesh Noklin, this Baal Maor and this Arashi and Horios, that when the son is Yorshe, the father, it's Ki'ilu Ha'av Kayim. It's not even viewed as a chazaka. It's a seamless transition where nothing has changed ownership. The being Roy as the Ben is Mamish his, and the father's still alive. Nothing has changed. So that might be part of the Havamina of why the Yorshe Ha'ben would get it over the Yorshe Ha'im. But let's say it would be a case of a Yorshe Ha'ach, let's say, versus Yorshe Ha'im. Maybe that case there would never be such a Havamina that the Ach would come before the Yorshe Ha'im. Okay, so in the end of the day, the Gemara says the Rabbi Zera holds Yerusha Aim, the famous Gemara. Kisalik Rabbi Zera. We know Rabbi Zera left from Bavel, and the Gemara tells us that elsewhere he's fasted 40 days to forget all the Talmud Torah he learned in Bavel. He wanted to have a fresh mind to learn Eretz Yisrael. Kam b'shitasa de Rabbi Yila. When he went to Eretz Yisrael, his mind changed. He ended up agreeing to Rabbi Yila that does go based on Yerusha Aim. The next few words they say to skip. So now Amar Rabbi Zera, Shma Mina. Rabbi Zera saw this clarity, like Rabbi Allah, his Bar Plukta, and said Shma Mina Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. The land, the airspace, the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael makes you smarter, and therefore he changed his mind. Interesting discussion that the Tzafes Paneach says this Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim has nothing to do with Kedusha of the Mikdash. It happens to be just the Avir at Eretz Yisrael. So, Afil Bizman Hazeb, this halacha still, this not halacha, this idea still is very much relevant. So, time am I. What's the reason that the Yorsha Ha'im get over the Yorsha Ha'ben? Amar Abaye, hol v'huchzaka nachla bosa shevet. Exactly what Yossi said, that when it comes to the chazaka, she mamish had the chazaka, she was using the money, the property, she had the chazaka, the son was only roi, and therefore chazaka overrides roi. Gemara says one interesting note at the end, in the last few lines, and we'll stop here. Amar lo Benazai al chalukin anu mitzdarin. He says to Rabbi Kiva, you're causing us more problems. We had a case where Beis Hillel Beis Shammai agree, and you say there's still a machlokes. So Amar Rabbi Simulai, Ada Amra, Ada's Lashon Zo, says the Rashbam. Zo, so Meres, this tells us that Ben Azai, Talmud Chavid Rabbi Akiva Hava, the Karmelei Shebasa. You don't speak directly to in the second person to your Rebbe. You told me this, you're coming to argue. The fact that Ben Azai spoke directly to Rabbi Akiva, he didn't say Rabbeinu, Morvi Rabbi, he just said Rebbe, he said, Ata you, Ata Basa, tells me that he was a Talmud Chavir Hava. So Rashbam just points out, Pshitalon de Mitchila Hayatamido. It's certain for many Gemaras that Ben Azai was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So how could he get away with calling him a Basa that you're coming to argue? So he says, Hada Amra, says the Rashbam, this comes to tell us, Dilbasov Hayachaver, he became a Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, the Kamar Le, Shebasov Lo Kamar Shebat Yerabenu. So I guess at some point, even a Talmud could become somewhat of a contemporary of his own Rebbe when he gets to a certain level of learning, a certain level of smicha, whatever. I mean, we don't know the criteria here, but that's what he got to the level of talking directly to his Rebbe. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll pick up tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.